Hello and welcome to Hey Art, What's Good? We are a podcast based in the north of England where we like to go and see what's good with art. My name is Alice.
My name's Rosie.
And we have a guest. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hello, my name's Michaela.
You might remember Michaela from such things as the live episode we did at Thought Foundation or just art exhibitions everywhere because
she's everywhere.
Yeah, I'm everywhere. I'm like
just prolific.
Michaela is a freelance curator working primarily at Thought Foundation and Platform Air Gallery, and it's nice to have you on the podcast in these strange times and over Skype.
Thank you so much for joining us. This
Thank
is wonderful.
Thank you for having me and keeping me entertained.
Something we like to do on the podcast is to see kind of what's good with us. It's in the name of the show, so you know, themes. So Michaela, what's good with you at the minute?
Well, all I've been doing is watching telly and listening to podcasts and all that kind of ness. And I normally would be like documentaries. Mm-hmm. But I have been watching my Crazy Ex-Girlfriend for the first time, and it is the best thing ever.
I'm amazing. Like, I know what it is, but please tell the premise for those who don't know.
So it's this very stressed out, unhappy lawyer, played by Rachel Bloom, amazingly. And she is obsessed with this boy she fell in love with in camp. And she randomly sees him one day on the street. And he's like, oh, they live in New York. And like, oh, I'm going to move back to my hometown. And she's like, oh, I'm going to move with him. And then it's just this journey of happiness and also being a bit of a crazy stalker.
She's insane.
And it's all in musical form, so it's brilliant.
So they'll just like burst into song at any given moment, and it's fantastic.
It's just, oh, for your soul, it is so good. And I absolutely love a musical. And I'm just right at the end of the first series, so I don't really know how it's going to go, because it's four series of it. But I actually love her. I relate to her more than any of the other characters. And I don't think I'm crazy, but I'm just like, I totally get it.
Yeah. Like, yes, girl, being there. No, not really. No, I only watched the first season, so maybe I should go back to it.
It's all on Netflix.
Oh, okay, there we are. And like, I love this. Recommendations. This is what we need right now.
And I've been listening to a podcast. I just want to say quickly, I'm obsessed with TV, like obsessed with it. And always have been since forever and ever and ever. And the best TV show ever is Sopranos. There's no question.
I've never seen it.
Me neither. I feel like we're letting you down.
You've got like, it's the time.
I think you're right. No excuses. You're holding back.
Perfect from the first series to the last series.
Wow.
No episode. Brilliant. Lovely and long. It's all about characters. Or you've got to watch it. So anyway, two of the characters and the actors in it had done a podcast and they're going through each episode. So my TV nerdness is just like, get in. So that, I think it's just called Talking Sopranos.
Oh, okay, nice, simple, to the point. I like it.
Oh, that's a class.
Yeah, I've been named and shamed.
Yep. Well, I've heard as well that it's supposed to be like one of the best TV shows ever. So,
And I revisited it last year for the third time, and and it was I was like, oh, you know, like, because, you know, times have changed. We look at things differently. I'm watching Friends at the minute, and I'm like, ooh, boy, some of this
cringe
stuff.
Yep. Didn't age
it
well.
All, like, there's sexist parts. Yeah, there's, like, masculineness. Mm-hmm. But it's not forced. It's there's, like, all the women characters are quite strong. It's perfect. You should watch it.
Ooh, it ages like a fine cheese.
Oh, okay.
Fine wine?
No, yeah, but I don't like wine, so I wouldn't like it if it aged like a fine wine.
Well, that's
I'll drink
fair
it
enough.
For you, don't worry.
You can eat the cheese, Michaela can have the wine, sorted.
Oh my God, perfect, this is why we're friends.
perfect dinner party.
Oh my god, that would be nice. When all this is over, a dinner party.
I am hosting dinner parties after this, so get yourselves ready.
Amazing.
It's on record now, so.
Okay. Lush. Rosie, what's good with you at the minute?
Ooh, well, sort of in like a similar vein. I am discovering films that I've never seen and probably should have. So I mentioned on the last episode that I watched Face Off, which is that incredible artistic performance of Nicolas Cage and what's the dude?
Was it John Travolta?
Yes, yeah. John Travolta. Yeah. Oh my god, please everyone watch it. So then the other thing that Jacob recommended was Tropic Thunder.
Oh yeah.
I've never seen Tropic Thunder and I don't know how. And it's so good. I didn't expect to really like it. Like I was like, I've seen bits of it. Like, you know, when you walk in on the end or like you feel like, I don't know, it's on in the background or something like that. But I sat down and watched it. Amazing, start to finish. Well done. Top-notch performance.
It's ridiculous.
And when I heard about like the whole Robert Downey Jr. situation, I was like, I'm gonna hate it, because like blackface is never okay.
Yeah,
but they actually used it to like talk about shit. Yeah. And that's so good, and I didn't expect it, because like it's just so silly.
Yeah, it is very silly,
but like silly is so good.
I think silly is what we need right now, to be fair. So I think that's all right.
So Tropic Thunder, I'm gonna like go tell my dad to watch it.
Oh, okay.
So that's what's good with me. Alice, what is good?
Well, since we're talking about movies and that, I'll also throw in a movie I've seen recently. Me and a few friends have started like to do a movie club every few weeks where we all pick a film and then we'll watch it and have a chat about it. And we've only done one so far, and we'll watch this old like Soviet film from like 1983 or something called Moscow Doesn't Believe in Tears. And it's like it won an Oscar for best foreign film, like for whatever year it came out. But it was quite good. I mean,
where do you find it? Like, where did you watch it?
There's a whole YouTube channel which is all in Cyrillic, dedicated to like old like Russian and Soviet films and stuff. Couldn't tell you what it's called because again it's in Cyrillic, so but the next one I'm going to watch from there is it's a jazz comedy musical from 1934, which is also Russian, called Jolly Fellows or something like that. I just, the thought of a Soviet musical from the 30s is baffling to me. So I'm gonna have to watch that and see what's gonna be.
Tell me more. I expect a blog post or something.
Yeah. We'll have to. It might be too much. I might have to actually talk about it, but we'll see.
Love it.
Right, so now that all these pleasantries are out of the way and Michaela's got Paddy back up on her knee.
Yeah.
Paddy is a lovely dog for people who are listening to this.
Yeah, it's not my child.
I mean, it is, though.
He is, my baby, yeah.
We're going to have a little chat about a fab exhibition that we saw at Thought Foundation before all this happened, and an exhibition that we're going to like have a proper chat about like in the studio in town, but then can't anymore because everything's closed and we don't want to do that, so Skype it is.
Hey.
And it was such a good show, and we think that it does deserve talking about, and the art was mint, so the artists need to be like credited and spoken about, and
absolutely.
Michaela curated all that, so who better to talk to about it?
Yes,
so Michaela,
love this show, and you could tell so much like care and thought and consideration went into it. I just don't want that hard work to like be overlooked. So here we are, ready to chat about it.
So tell what is craft? What's it all about?
Well, apart from being a very simple title, because I am terrible with titles, it was an exhibition that I started to think about 4 years ago. It's basically when I started this whole, I'm going to be a curator, I'm going to talk about women's stories, and how craft is seen as like a lesser art. You know, it's a hobby, it's domestic, it's not seen as a fine art. And over the years, that is, you know, evolving and changing. but there's still that little stigma about it of being, oh, well, it's just, you know, something you do in the house, or, you know, mm-hmm. you're making a blanket.
It's something that's absolutely baffled me. I didn't even know it was a thing until I went to university, and then they started, tutors would talk about it, so in such a carefree manner, you're like, oh no, you know, like craft versus art and things like that, and I'm like, what are you on about? I don't, this is the first I've heard that this is a conflicting opinion. I thought all creative design, like expression, like all these things, it all comes under the umbrella of art. And I think there's a lot to talk about with you know, institutionalized systematic sexism with relation to craft, because it has always kind of been deemed the woman's art form and therefore must be lesser. So,
well, of course, Rosie.
And but it's been so cool that we've been seeing so many, you know, it's 2020, like we've been seeing a lot of galleries kind of revamp their collections to reflect our society and shine light on art forms that have like been overlooked or discredited in the past. And you know, we see it with kind of like old collections like the Lang, the Mima, like they're doing a fab job of kind of bringing up old work. But this was contemporary work, which was even, you know, it was just so exciting that we can like elevate this and give it the credit it's always been due, I think.
I very beautifully said, Rosie.
Oh, thank you.
A big thing is, I think, what I want to explore on my work a bit, because I love like old history to now, and it's like, well, why wasn't it talked about? Why wasn't it deemed important? Because it was bloody men writing all the books back when. It wasn't, you know,
preach it.
Academics of males, and they were like, well, this is deemed unimportant, and there's a time where we've got to start actually rewriting history books and being like, well, they were there. You know, everyone's like, women weren't there, women weren't doing stuff. Women were there. They were, they've always been there. And with this exhibition, it's chopped and changed for so many years. And being a part of the Nasty Women movement, and there's a lot of craftivism in there. So if anyone's craftivism is,
I've never heard that before, and I already love it.
Craftivism is, it's literally using craft as an activist approach to things. So
yeah, like to respond to the world around you. Yeah.
So when we talk about the artists, I'll go into a few of them, because there's a few little activist ones in there. But just learning through that, through Nasty Women, about the artists and how they're using it to use it as an activist approach, and working in platforms. I went in a gallery called Platform A Gallery, which is a contemporary art gallery in Middlesbrough, and learning from that and learning from the academic side and the high-end side, and kind of mushing it all together of what I've known. Like, I've selected and picked some just like incredible artists to show craft in a different way. And being in Thought Foundation, we have a lot of people who wouldn't normally go to art galleries, or kind of go just, you know, like it's a blend of different people, but it's nice to show craft, and not a crafty, and I'm using a quotation marks of crafty as in like, he's a toilet roll stick, let's make this in, is it, you know, like,
yeah,
it can be a finer art to the word craft.
Yes, I feel like I want to talk about like Grace and Perry for a million years.
Oh, always.
Yeah. Because in fact, I'll like write a blog post about him, or like do a little solo recording about Grace and Perry, and why, if you're interested in craft and gender and all this stuff to do with art and activism, and he's just the best person, really. He's like, he's one of the people I'd invite to my dinner party. Like, you know, your like imaginary dinner party that you'd have.
Mm-hmm.
Grace and Perry. Anyway. Watch this space to find out more about him.
He just has a beautiful way of talking about art so relatably.
Yes. Yeah, cultural capital, eat your heart out. Like, anyone could like listen to Grayson Perry talk about art and engage with him, and therefore with art, and he's a saint.
Aww.
Well, I went to go see him live, and it like changed my life. And then I wanted to go see him in 2020. and I can't. Maybe. I don't know. I think he's coming in like winter. So I live in hope.
Yeah. Oh, fingers crossed for that then. So how did you put this exhibition together, Michaela? Like, we love talking to curators because, like, we can find these questions out. Like, Rosie usually does a curation corner, but we don't need that. We've got a genuine curator. So
yeah, my work for me.
Yeah.
Well, I started this, as I said, I started it years ago, and I was like, I'm going to do an exhibition called Feminism versus Feminism, and it's going to be all about why feminists hate feminists on Twitter, and I'm going to do it all in embroidery, and that was my idea. And I was just like, this is going to be amazing. I was like, I'd literally just started doing curation, like, properly by myself, what I want to do, and I found some artists, and I was going to do it, and then I was like, I wouldn't say I had a breakdown because that's a bit over the top. But it was kind of like everything was piling on top of us. I was putting money into it and not making any money.
Yeah.
Which, never do that. Artists, obviously artists need to buy materials and that, but, you know, make a profit on your artwork. I just kind of was like, this needs to stop.
Mm-hmm.
So it stopped for about 4 years.
Oh, wow.
And then I've been slowly been wanting to do it, slowly being like, craft. And then through this time, from then to now, just meeting artists, just going to art exhibitions, finding people I really want to work with, asking people, like, a lot of people, like, oh, I can't ask them. They've done this. Just ask them. Just say no.
Yep.
No.
Yeah.
I think we learned that very fast doing this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, oh, actually, people want to get involved with each other's projects. Like, this is an art community. Yeah. And we actually, like, yeah, that's fab. Networking, the power of networking.
It's probably one of the biggest things, really, with curating and everything. Like, if you're lucky enough to work in an institution in a museum and that, good on you. But if you can't, you need to get yourself out there. You need to talk to people. You need to meet artists. And the best way to do that is studio visits, which I know is a bit harder for people who have jobs and can't commit that time. But a gallery opening, you know, is perfect too, and seeing the artwork. And just over time, I've done exhibitions and done loads of different shows and that, and just kind of like collected people. I need you. And that is kind of how it all came together.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the artists I work with is Zara Worth. It's just fab. And she gave us these two little embroidered tweets. Because it went perfect with my first exhibition.
Yes, it did.
And I've had them in my house, and then I moved, and they've been in my sister's house since that time. I was like, I'm going to do this exhibition. So I've had them like three to four years. And it's always amazing to actually show them.
Oh, I'm like glad they could finally make it to like their destination.
Yeah. And God bless Zara for just being like, oh, no, it's fine. I know it's going to happen. So.
Aww.
That's solid. Nice.
Well, people might remember the episode we did like ages ago. It was a feed by Zara Worth at Vane Gallery. It was like cool stuff. And she works a lot with like social media and different kind of things in the digital realm. It was super interesting.
Definitely my cup of tea. I was like, where was she when I was writing my dissertation about art and virtual reality?
Yeah.
Legit. It was perfect. I would have done like a whole chapter on her. We would have been best friends.
Have you ever met her?
Yeah, very briefly.
An absolutely incredible person. Like, I hope she listens to this so she can hear us gush it all over her. She's lovely. And she sent us the like artist statement for it, and she was like, it might be a bit too academic, like I've been, you know, that's her, what she's doing at the minute, and it just read like so beautifully, and I was just like, oh, just I'm in love. Love her work too, so.
Oh, well, it's nice, like it's quite interesting to hear like the personal kind of element behind how you got a lot of these works. Like, I feel that's not I mean, I don't know because I'm not a curator. I don't know if that, how that's, it usually works that way, but it's nice to have like a personal connection to like a lot of the stuff that you want to show.
Well, I don't know if it actually is what curation does, but that's what I'm doing.
That's what your curation does, and that's the important thing.
Yeah. But I am, so one of the artists in the show is Connor Shields.
Yes.
Who works with knitting and like hard materials, so he uses like hard and soft materials, and it's all about like masculine and feminine energy and like working class background of knitting and craft, because we see knitting as like a grandma thing, like, you know, I know it's like a very cliche thing, but it's like, you know, your nana's knitting, you're a jumper and that, but it was a trade back in the day, you know. It was, men were doing it as a trade. And then when like machines and that came in and they did it for them, it's like, oh, we don't need this anymore. So we'll hand it off to the women.
Yep.
That's a very simplified history. But so he's kind of like taking that back and using materials, and I absolutely love his work. And I saw his work in Middlesbrough somewhere. He's from Middlesbrough.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, I need to show your work. Like, and I get very like handsy, as it not handsy. I'm like Italian like person, and I'm just like, oh, I just love it. And I get very aggressive of just how much I love like something, and I'm just like, I need like, and he's like, okay, and then it was fab working with him and seeing his work in the show.
His work has been everywhere. Like, he must be on it. I love, and it's different, and it's so, his work's so coherent, it's so him every time, but he's like, every time you're seeing a new development. So like, I've seen a lot of them with like concrete and some form of textile and knitting, but wasn't there like, for like want of a better word, a blob, and it was like shiny?
Yeah, it was, it's on a work. Oh, and I can't remember. I've got the names here, but I actually can't remember which one's which. I think it might be Slouch. I'm probably getting that completely wrong. But it's a cement block, and it curls off a working man's table. And it's pink. And it's like dabbed with like blushes, like makeup and that.
That's what it was. Yeah. Yes. It's like shimmery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's weird. It's kind of, I love it because it's almost like, I don't know, it's a bit fleshy. You know, it's like a bit like that. Bit of the body, bit of like, there's a bit of like a presence,
bit
there.
Of phallicness.
Yeah. No, it's great. But the variety in the show is fantastic as well. Like, there was just, actually, I don't want to say something for everyone, because I guess you have to be interested in craft, but
yes.
You know, within that, the variety of craft that you exhibited was amazing. I could, not samey and yet coherent, because the so much textile, and I mean this is just my experience, but textile can be really hard to exhibit because it can get kind of samey. But this textile that in this craft show was, it almost like inhabited the space. Like, it was in times like literally crawling up the walls.
Yeah.
It was like, I almost want to say it was like, it was so aerodynamic. Do you think that's the right word?
I don't know, but I'll take it.
there was a lot going on. There was like stuff everywhere, and it was kind of like entering this like other world, because it was so colorful, and yet, and there were all these textures and shapes and shadows and like all this like really cool stuff going on. So like, I was just so like, it's very stimulating. I think that was the like,
yeah,
I need to talk to you every day. You're cheering right off.
This is why I talk about what's good. Comes naturally.
This is certainly good. Yeah.
It's easy to talk about how good it is, because it was effortless.
Thank you.
Some of the pieces, I guess, that kind of, I think, embodies that, like, of, well, I don't either, like, just that sort of tactility and stuff, was the West End Women stuff, like, because that was all like hanging off the ceiling, and you could kind of like duck and walk through it, and that was really cool. And there was
maybe
like
my favorite piece, I think, that was
mint. And I learned so a new cool word, macrame.
Yeah,
So that's pretty cool. What's macrame, Michaela?
I've only wrote the word macrame down. I haven't wrote the definition of it.
Oh my God. Like, as a dyslexic, the word macrame is very upsetting.
Rosie, I was just about to say that. I have to be like, macrame. Right, I get it.
Like, I know, so you learnt the word macrame, but I learnt how to say the word macrame. Hey. I knew what it was, but like, everyone Google it if you can. It's like, good luck.
My new like tool of a dyslexic mind is Google and then pronouncing the pronounce button.
Oh, yes. Very helpful.
The words I get wrong is shocking.
Well, I mean, these are like, I don't know, it's like string and stuff and like kind of that sort of material, and it's like kind of been woven and like thingy drawn like hoops, it looks like, and just basically creating these like hanging sculptures, and they're amazing. They're also colorful and so cool
to me. It looks like hula hoops and skipping ropes.
You'd be right, because it's a project done by Kat Campbell, and she began with a group of vulnerable women from Newcastle West End in Newcastle, and the work is, so they would like come together, make these pieces, talk about the lives of families and that, give them, you know, something to work with whilst doing it. And all the objects, again, with going back to the history and story of women in art as a domestic chore and a domestic thing, is they use domestic objects, they use string, they use child toys to create these pieces of work. So that's something as you said, they look like hoops and that, and it's not that it's like a DIY, it's like purposely a hula hoop, what a kid would use.
Everything is considered. That's perhaps what makes it art, the fact that, you know, every element is considered, and that's because, you know, it's like the found object. Like, there's a whole debate around whether or not a found object can be art, and it's like, well, if it is considered then as art and framed in the right way, surely it is. But this is just no question. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's cheerful.
And there's like so many of them.
Yeah, and it is. It's like walking through an underwater like coral reef or something. You know, it's almost like kind of, I'm imagining like jellyfish or seaweed, or like this got this like beautiful kind of hanging quality about them as they're like suspended.
Yeah, I could have just had them in the show, really. And you could curate it any kind of way, because I was going to have them going all the way down the gallery, so the gallery's quite long, but they were very big, and it's a practical space, so that's kind of why they were in the corner for.
A lovely
highlight of the exhibition.
Well, in the other corner, I haven't written down what they were called, but like in the kind of opposite corner to the side of the room near the front door, there was these like similar in the fact that it kind of hangs, but completely different. It was kind of like kind of metal pipes holding it up, and like kind of knitted like tubes sort of things. I can't remember what they're called.
It looked like arm knitting or something.
Yeah,
like,
I've got notes because I haven't actually talked to people for 2 months.
Yes, no, that's fair.
So I've got notes on Laura's work, and I can't find them or other. I'll just say Laura. So it's an artist called Laura Porter, and we did, so it's a bit confusing because this exhibition is an independent exhibition that I did as an independent curator at my vision of what I want to do with my personal career. But I also work at Thor Foundation.
Yes.
So with the directors and all that, we plan for exhibitions around the themes that Thor Foundation want to put out there in the world. And this kind of, and bless them, that said, yeah, you've got this time space, go for it. And so Laura was a part of an affordable art fair we did a couple of years ago. And she did these beautiful textile painted little canvas, it's not canvas, but like a little frame picture. And it was from, you know, like, this is my old boyfriend's t-shirt and like made it into like a piece of art.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I fell in love with them. And I like looked at a website and she does these massive, huge craft installation pieces. And I was like, I need you. I emailed her and I was like, one thing that sometimes bites us in the tush is I truly trust artists. You know, I will be like, I want one of your works. What do you want? Well, why don't you bring some up? We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it hasn't worked the way I wanted it to.
Yep.
But, you know, it's your vision. This needs to be a collaborative thing. You know, this is not me going, well, this is my show. And no, yeah. It's my idea and I couldn't do it without artists.
Yes.
So she came up with these pieces and she absolutely blew me away with what she brought.
Oh.
I knew it was going to be amazing anyway. But when she came with it with a boyfriend, he came up from like Cornwall or something crazy.
Oh, whoa.
Like, what? Like, yeah, we just came up. I was like, I thought you were like, no. Like down there. I think everyone's just from the northeast, apparently.
Well, all the best people are, so.
Oh, okay. So she came up, they put it up, and had other work too, but it just looked stunning, especially alongside like Connor's work.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Compliment.
No, yeah, you were there.
There you
compliment.
Go. Complimented together, and it was beautiful. And
yeah.
She uses a lot of recycled clothing, and it's all about like her weaving, and she's just amazing.
Yeah, it was
a
showstopper.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I was going to ask, like, what the materials sort of were, because, yeah, they're all, like, complementing each other, like, in colours, but you can tell all the materials aren't, like, from the same thing, so mm-hmm. It's very, very cool. And it looks so soft, and I kind of just want to, like, stand inside it. I feel as it'd be, like, kind of like a hug.
Oh, she's exhibited it, I think, like, on the floor, and, like, in a hoop, like a circle, so they kind of, like, fall into each other.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
well, she's one to watch.
Oh, she's got an exhibition on online.
Ooh.
And if you don't mind, I'll have a look and I'll show you what it is.
Yes, oh, yeah, please.
I'll put it on my Instagram.
Nice. And I'll also put a link to it on the blog post for this episode.
So I'll go on her page because she'll say something better than my waffle. I can. So it was, she's been commissioned 10 creators in the Southwest to make work on the theme of hyper local to help support artists during the pandemic. So it's an organization called Arts and Culture UOE, which I think is a university, and she's made some beautiful work, like textiles crawling up the banister and like little like weavings and locks and absolutely like just so beautiful. I was like, can I please put this on my Instagram? It's so lovely.
Aww.
Yeah, that sounds mint. I'm a fan of Laura, and check out her work because she's phenomenal.
Nice. What else are we going to talk about? I mean, something that I loved, and also my dad really, really loved, was Lady Kit's work. It's part of a Word series, which we've dedicated a whole episode to. But nice to see it here again. Just amazing. Just really intricate, like, paper cuts, but of £50 notes, of, like important, like, female and non-binary figures. And it's just they're so cool. I love the little bottles with all the little cutouts in it. It's just, like, framed and stuff so nicely. But look, it's work.
When I was like, right, I'm going to do this, and I asked her, can I use your work? Can I have your work project in it? And she was like, why? And maybe she was worrying. I was just like, that should be me. I'll stick her in. But it's because I just think it's so relatable. Like, it's an easy way to get people to learn about craftivism and to show a big I was going to say feminism, but it's not feminist projects. So the if we don't know, the project's about, it's inspired by a woman called, and I'm going to butcher her name, so I do apologise, Carolyn Cardio Perez.
That's right.
I'm wrong, I do apologise. And she did a massive petition about getting women on the £5 note.
Mm-hmm.
And look, woohoo, she got Jane Austen on it. Well, was a big contribution factor to that. But she got so much hate and got threats online, you know, I'm going to rape you, I'm going to murder you. Like, just this, like, horrendous abuse. Because she wanted to have a woman on a £5 note.
Yeah. Like, bigger issue, apparently, than you would assume it to be.
Just, like, crazy, crazy abuse for a nice thing.
Yeah.
So Kate taking this idea, and they created this series of kind of unsung heroes of the world, and created them on £50 notes, and they would make, like, what they want to put on £50 notes. Or so, like, the first one was about, give us a name, the lady who got shot by the Taliban.
Oh, I don't know.
I've got to write a name down.
I might have wrote it down. The answer is no, I didn't write it down. You know, we've probably mentioned it maybe in the last, in the episode about Worth we did, but I'm not too sure.
Apologies. I can't remember. But
this is the problem. This is why we need people on notes, because then we'll have to remember their names.
Yes.
Other names, just not that name. So and then she started to, like, ask people to nominate. So I and other people nominated someone called Martine Delard, who's an activist, a lifelong feminist who is in Newcastle. She is an incredible woman, like, incredible. So they made her into a piece, and Annie Lennox was one of them, and I'm still not over that Rosie didn't know who Annie Lennox was.
Sorry.
And it's just a beautiful series of work where people can understand craft and activism in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And I get very excited to talk about it because I absolutely love Kate and I love the work. And
yeah,
this is when I turn into a rambly just because I want to get it all out there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, kind of speaking about the like the whole death threat thing about that, that's kind of a inspiration for Zora Wirth's pieces that are in this, the two tweets that she embroidered together. They're both, it's like two separate tweets in frames. It looks very cool. And it's tweets, like abusive tweets to Mary Beard and Caroline Criado Perez. And it's just, it's odd seeing something like so kind of like, I don't know if delicate's the right word, but like something like this where so much care and attention and love has been put into making something, and then you read it, you're like, oh damn, that's horrible.
Yeah. And I love that. That's why it, like, lures you into a false sense of security. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very successful because, in a sense, like, using the framework of social media, which is something that, you know, you can say good and bad, and it's all looks, the format is the same. So, like, it's all kind of like dull, if you know what I mean. Like, things mm-hmm. lose their, like, potence that way. So, mm-hmm. like, and maybe it's the same in that, like, it lulls you into that false sense of security and then, like, smashes you with something awful. Do you know what I mean? Because, like, social media, man, it's like, it can be real toxic. But this, like, it's the exact same. Like, this, like, lures you in. Like, oh, embroidery, like, that's fine, that's nice. And then, like, you, yeah, read it, and it's like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Like, people Ooh. Are the worst.
Yep.
Can I read a bit of her artist statement about it? Because it's so
yes,
beautiful.
Please.
I'd love that.
Dude. Yeah. So I'll just, again, dyslexic mind.
It's all good.
I might come out a bit stuttery.
I forgive you. I'm in the same boat.
Yeah. So the slow process of embroidery, which as a medium has been historically marginalised as a craft medium as opposed to a fine art, contrasts with the lightning speed of composition and transmission of a tweet, reminiscence of the Greek myth of Philomena, in which Philomena, who has had her tongue cut out by her attackers and so creates a tapestry depicting her own rape in order to get justice. The embroideries refuse the possibility of online abuse to be forgiven or deleted, giving witness to the cruel world intended to silence women and each puncture of the needle through their calico. See, I got there.
Okay, well done.
And that was
damn,
beautiful.
That's good. That's so interesting.
She's so cool.
Her beautiful words butchered by my speech, but
no, not at all. I love being read to in a Geordie accent.
Yeah,
I'm Mac and thank you.
I was going to say Rosie. Come on,
close enough. Like I'm a Geordie and like I barely sound it, so you know.
Because you went away, love. That's why.
Barely. Alice is away longer than me.
But yeah, just it's just such a, like as you say, Rosie, kind of hits you in the face just when you actually read it. And also something I love as well, it's like old Instagram and like old Twitter, so it still has like favorite and it's still got like the old Instagram kind of border around it.
Oh yeah, I forgot. Like I didn't even think that it's dated.
Yeah,
that's beautiful though,
because in the same way as well, it kind of like even more firmly big dates what it was. It's like, look, this is a thing that happened probably around this year, don't forget it. But it's just,
yes, because all these things, all these like comments and things just get like lost in the void, the good and the bad. So this is like a good way to kind of like, you can't avoid it, this happens and we need to address it.
Something you see not a lot, unfortunately, but sometimes when people get called out for like the really abusive tweets, like sometimes by the person who they're sending it to, because a lot of the time you'll notice on social media, like people tweet at like famous people or celebrities and stuff, sometimes they tweet horrible things, and a lot of the time it's because they never expect it to be read by that person. So sometimes you'll see if the person actually responds to them, be like, yo dude, that's not cool, that's not very nice, it's like, oh no, I didn't mean like that, like da 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 da. So I wonder maybe if like the people who actually wrote these tweets and stuff, like if they ever saw it like this, I wonder if their opinion would have changed.
They just want to be seen.
Yes,
but I hope they'd be mortified. I hope that they'd like feel ashamed that they're going to be seen in this way, because that's it, like people are sacrificing like the way they're being seen for just the fact of being seen. And that's just wrong to me. It doesn't sit right to me anyway.
The people who attacked the Perez lady went to court and got fined.
Hey.
Like, actually, something happened.
Oh, there we go. That's something.
Which is good. Because, like, it's such a new... I know we're going off on a tangent here, but it's just a new thing, isn't it? Like, how do you like stalk and an abuse and that online? There's no laws because it's so brand new to people.
Yeah,
is when it's like time you need to change and be like, this is not okay. I'm fine for people ranting about yourself, but to attack someone and to put so much negativity out there, it's just like,
and to project that negativity as if it's their problem, like no, that's your issue, like sit down and sort it out, don't shout at someone else about it. Like, you know, guys, I completely agree, like it can be a great vessel to like de-stress and like chat to your friends about how shit your day has been and stuff like that, or like how work's grinding you down and stuff like that, but like when it comes to actually like personal attacks on people you don't know, I actually would love to talk about what's her name? Jamil. She's so cool and I've like the biggest girl crush on her. But she did like a thing on Instagram, like there's a story like on a highlights kind of thing about like how we're basically the media brainwashes us. There's that like it's really common and we've all fallen into the trap of like a female celebrity and that thing of like, I really don't like her, but I don't know why.
Mm.
Everyone has that. Taylor Swift, I've had that. Mm. Loads of people had it with like Jennifer Lawrence, I think. And like, just there's so many. Everyone has one.
I hate her.
This is it. And so the proposed argument is that actually it's because the media is so much less forgiving of women than it is men that we like obviously like have this collective kind of like we just hold women to a higher standard and they're not as worthy of forgiveness. So like if a man like does all these crazy things, the media eats it up, but then eventually he's forgiven for it and then they go on to celebrate his successes. With the women, like that just doesn't happen in the same way, and then it leads to us like just not liking Taylor Swift or Jennifer Lawrence and not knowing why.
Well, yeah. I think she's a terrible actress.
Well, okay, sometimes it's legitimate. But like, you know what I mean? It's that like, so I don't know, like this is why Zara Wirth's work is so relevant and important, and I'm a little bit obsessed with it because it's all about like the impact of like, communication, like how we're relating to one another because of social media and the humanity of it all.
Do any of you watch Drag Race?
Yes.
Haven't in ages.
So I absolutely love RuPaul's Drag Race. And I'll talk to my sister and my friends. I'm like, oh my God, this queen did it on my phone. And we'll say like all the trashy things in a text. But they have such a horrible online presence of people being like, why did you do this in this show? I think you should die. I'm gonna like the fandom, and I think that's quite a very young fandom now because it's so popular, and it's just this like a 15-year-old like attacking this drag queen because she eliminated another drag queen. It's like it's a reality TV show.
Yeah,
and it's like, this is the game. From your life. Like, it doesn't matter that much. It's okay.
It's all staged. It's not real.
My dad like is into drag and he always has been, and but he doesn't watch Drag Race, and I've been trying to get him to watch it, and the pitch that I gave to him is like it's reality TV meets drag. Like it's two separate things like colliding, and it's you don't watch it to watch drag. You kind of watch it to watch reality TV and like the spectacle of it all, because I honestly think that like drag is reality TV IRL. Like it's like a hyper performance of reality. Do you know what I mean? Which is like, it's just so good. And it's the perfect melding. It's beautiful. So I really want to get him into it, but you have to explain, like, it's not like, don't go in expecting a drag show, go in expecting a reality show. Because I don't want him to be like, ooh, drag, that's exciting. And then like, it's not like that. So fingers crossed Russell gets into RuPaul's Drag Race.
Hey.
My parents watched the English one, the UK one.
That's the one I'm starting him off on.
Loved it. Can't do the American one though, which is...
I think that's understandable. I feel like people our age like get American stuff more than people a bit older. But maybe I'm generalizing. Maybe it's just our parents, because that's definitely accurate of mine.
Yes.
Could be. Well, I'm conscious of how long we've been recording for. I'm trying to think. Like, do you want to have a chat about one more thing? Because one of the pieces which I thought was super interesting and it's like quite big, and like bold on the wall is Costume Drama by Tisner Westerhoff. These are so cool. It's like these two beautiful kind of like patchwork embroidery, what's the word I'm looking for that tapestry kind of thing. It's like a tapestry of a wall of
it's like woven. I don't know what it's
patchwork. That is the right word.
For everyone who's listening, we just got some major fist bumps.
Yes. But I mean, they're just so pretty and like quite like obviously there's lots of similar sort of themes within everything in the show because it's got the theme of craft, but it's just so different again to everything else in the show, and they're just really cool. It's like a little girl and a little boy in these two separate tapestries, and like on the surface really beautiful, just really nice and pretty, and then the stuff they're actually kind of made up of is like newspaper reports, and like I wrote down the little thing that was on the little plaque thing. So it says, sewn together newspaper reports of refugee and police brutality with fabrics from clothes she wore as a child. And that's just another kind of mashing of worlds. It's such a two super interesting things to kind of be put together on a tapestry.
Yeah,
I really love these works, and everyone in the show I know personally. I didn't really know Laura, but we've been back and forth. So it's Trisna Westerhoff, and again, apologies if I've said a surname wrong. She added me on Facebook, and I think it was because the Nasty Women stuff I've been doing. She is, if I'm saying this correctly, I think she's Dutch, but lives in London.
And,
okay. I just clicked on her work and was like, oh, this is amazing. So, like, her work is, it's all in, like, the craft kind of world, but there's different aspects of it. And I just emailed her and I was like, I really love these pieces. And she was like, some of them have sold, but I still got three. And I was like, brilliant. Like, I'll have them.
Yep, done.
At the time, I wanted them in the space because when I knew it was going to be Thought Foundation. So Thought Foundation is a very child-friendly place. That is our audience, families come in all the time. And I wanted to have something that was a bit more in your face, like, not all children have these beautiful lives.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. It all kind of, I watched a documentary called For Saham, and I'm probably saying that wrong again too. It's a Channel 4 documentary, and it's about this woman who's raising a child in the uprising in Syria.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely heartbreaking. It's just war, it's death, you just see everything, like nothing's blurred, nothing, it's pure wartime journalism, and it's perfection. It's a brilliant documentary.
Oh my goodness. You're gonna have to like send us links to this or something, because I am gonna need to see this.
Yeah.
Traumatize me, please.
On demand. It is a hard watch, but it is absolutely incredible. And that kind of resonated with this work, and it was just thinking, like, we are very privileged. We mm-hmm. are in a privileged mm-hmm. space. We are in a lovely area where, you know, really this is not going to happen. Mm-hmm. And I kind of wanted to put that message in the show with the work. And I'm not saying that's what the work's about. I'm just saying that's kind of why I kind of drew to it a lot. And mm-hmm. it just, like, the activist side of it, it's like, it's not all just about, so I do a lot of activist stuff with Nasty Women. I used to do it with Nasty Women about Trump and his thing on women's rights and how he's trying to destroy it and stuff that's happening in this country. But I'm not saying one's worse than the other, because it's not, obviously. But I just wanted to put across the point of, there is this going on in the world, and it should be seen and it should be heard, and that's kind of it.
Yeah.
There you
are. A common theme of all the pieces is that it's bringing to light what otherwise may not be seen.
Yep.
Definitely.
Yeah.
The look really, like, lovely, like kind of like Zara's pieces. They look nice from afar, and they're like, oh, it's in my little child, and then you go into it and you're like, oh boy.
Accurate.
But yeah, I think I feel as though I was doing that, like, when we're actually there on the preview night, like purposely taking steps backwards, having a look at it, and then going, oh, that's dead nice, and then toddling forwards to get like a better look at what made the nice thing, like, oh damn, no.
I think, like, some people really, I know I'm one of these people, but a lot of people say this to me, that they love art that, like, surprises you, that, like, catches you off guard, and that, yes, like, appeals to you. So, like, for a lot of people, they want aesthetically pleasing art,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, for a lot of people, that's really important. But more than that, they want to then kind of be stripped away of that security that comes with beauty and have something really ugly revealed to them. That's just like something magic that only art can do.
Definitely. And just Google craftivism. It's incredible.
Oh, I will.
And some of it's like really nice, like doing little like cupcakes and like little embroidered cupcakes and leaving them around just to brighten people's day up. And then other stuff is like to really like political art, and it's a good thing.
Yeah. Oh, amazing. Oh, well, I think that's a cool note to end it on. Google craftivism, guys.
Yeah.
This has been so nice. Like, it's been so good to have a chat to you about this. Because, like, as I say, we're going to try and do this at some point anyways. But it's nice to do it, like, just to get it out there. Because I can't just pop back along to Thought Foundation and have a look at the minute anyways. But
it's nice to talk about something that's not coronavirus.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the kind of hobby talk I've had.
Oh, well, we're always here for any art chats, Michaela, if you want to get on the old Skype or whatever again. We'll always chat about art all day,
always. Every day. Welcome on, newest member of Art What's Good.
Yay.
I love what you guys do too. I think you don't really know how of an advantage you are at this point.
Oh.
And you need to fucking get on them doors and say, "Oi, I've got this."
Oi.
Oi. And be the assertive, strong, independent women that we are.
Yeah.
There's lots of arm movements. Haven't done my stretches today.
Yeah. Some good old fist pumps. All right, well, amazing. Michaela, if anyone wants to see your kind of cool curatory works, where can they find you?
Just Michaela Wetherill, Wetherll. I'm on Twitter, which I think they say MA Wetherill or Michaela Wetherill. Instagram, say Michaela Wetherill. That's about it.
We'll have all
Michaela
your.
W. Just like the one with the pink hair. I don't have pink hair now because it's being ruined.
It's like we've been robbed.
Oh, no. Of your beautiful pink locks. But hey, sorry, as soon as it's all over.
I don't even know what colour it is now. But what is that colour?
Like, it's Corona?
Oh, no, really?
That's not Corona. That's the colour of Corona.
Oh, well, thank you again for having a chat with us. Something that we would usually do to end episodes is to talk about something that we look forward to do. However, we've deemed that's not fair or good because it's hard to look forward to anything when you don't know how anything's going to go. So do you have any more cool recommendations for TV or documentaries or podcasts or anything like that?
Or just generally good things.
Yeah, or anything at all.
Well, I can't wait to get into a pub.
Heck yeah,
that is my herbal.
See you there.
I think that's what my sister said was what she was looking forward to in the last podcast she was in. She was like, I just want to go to a pub, that's it. So I'm right there with you, man. Like, I just want to sit down with a cold pint, just in a space where other people are also allowed to be.
Yes,
that's all I want in the world.
Surrounded by strangers doing the exact same thing I am, but like while we're leaving each other alone. Oh, bless.
Trying to think what I've been watching. I've been watching Friends. You want to watch Friends for the 27th millionth time?
Nice. I think everyone's in that same boat.
Yeah. I started watching Desperate Housewives again.
Oh, wow.
After the third episode.
I can't imagine that's aged. Yeah.
I get it. It's like a fancy soap opera. That's why I was like, yeah, I'll watch it. I just don't think it's aged very well. Like, trying to go back to Sex in the City and I'll be like,
oh, God, I can't. I don't
think it'll age well at all. Everyone says Tiger King, and I think Tiger King is a very nice documentary. But
I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it yet. Oh,
You've got to get on it, Alice.
This episode has been Alice and Rosie disappoint Michaela with things
I've
that we haven't seen.
Tiger King.
Okay, Alice disappoints Michaela then.
So
it's great, and I have also been watching, which I never watched, was Louis Theroux's Weed Weekends.
Oh,
what a treat!
just going back to his archives is quite, and they're all on BBC, and that's quite a nice watch.
Love Louis.
Nice one, Rosie. Any other good things for you?
Ooh, let me think. Well, it's Trash Monday, which traditionally would be when my friend Emma would come over and me and Emma and Jacob would all sit down and watch Married at First Sight or other trash reality TV together.
Yeah.
But we can't do that together. But if I know Jacob, he'll come in this room in a few minutes and ask me to watch something stupid like Naked Attraction, which is the one where they like just reveal people naked. Bottom, like, what is it, like yeah, bottom first,
feet up.
feet up, and then you have to decide who you want to go on a date with. Quality TV.
Amazing.
I love, and Trash Mondays are very important, because I think you should have something to look forward to on a Monday, because then you can't do that whole I hate Mondays thing. And Trash Mondays, like, when I've been at work, has been my favourite day of the week, because it's like, start your week right and then watch some absolute garbage.
What about if you do Trash Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? I am obsessed with TV like that.
Oh, yeah. Trash TV is amazing. And I'm trying to get my friend Emma to start a blog about Trash TV. So,
oh, my God. I would read the hell out of it.
So, everyone's kind of taking the mick out of how Love Island's been cancelled. I'm devastated. I'm absolutely devastated.
I'm sure a few million other Britons are there with you.
It's so terrible, but so good.
It's a classic at this point.
People are just like, oh, at least some good news has come out of it. And I'm just like, how dare you? It's real.
Shush your mouth. Oh, well, TV-wise, I've been watching Killing Eve is back on BBC.
Yeah. I need to watch that.
So I've just watched, like, episode 4 came out this morning, so I'll watch that today of, like, the new season. And I love it. It's just ridiculous. Like, it's just so weirdly paced. Like, it's really funny and stupid. And then, like, horrific murders happen. And then there's all this kind of espionage-y sort of stuff. And I just love it. Like,
it's got it all.
Sandra Oh and Jodie Comer are, like, just
dream
amazing.
Team.
Oh, truly, dream team. So
yeah, brilliant.
That's what's good with me. Slash, looking forward to watching the rest of the season as it comes out.
Hey.
So there we go. There's some TV recommendations for everyone.
Yeah. Very important. We've got to, like, you know, sharing is caring.
Oh, of course.
I love how we didn't say books.
No.
I talked about books in the last episode, so I can only read so many in a week.
And we're both dyslexic, so we've got a get out of jail free card.
Yay, there you
go. I read like a teeny tiny book about tea.
Aww.
And I was like, wow, I read a whole book in a day. And it actually took me 2 days. But all together, it was less than 24 hours. So I was like, it counts.
That counts. That's fine.
It was like 80 pages long. It was like a pamphlet.
I feel you.
But I did it. So quarantine to-do list, tick.
Amazing. Well, if anyone listening has got any recommendations for things to watch, read, or listen to, or just generally check out during this weird quarantine time, you can send them our way on Instagram and Twitter at HeyOutWhat'sGood, or send an email, heyoutwhatsgood@gmail.com, and check out our website, because Rosie redid it and it looks really good. It's heyoutwhatsgood.com.
Thank you. I'm so proud. This does not come naturally to me at all, so I'm working my butt off here.
I love it, because you're just like, oh, I'm going to mess around with the website, see what I can do. And, like, I heard nothing for a couple of days. I didn't check the website or anything. And you were just, like, putting the chat. I was like, oh, guys, have a look. I had a little tinker with it. I was like, Rosie, you redesigned the entire thing. It's amazing.
Like, why do anything in halves? You know what I mean?
Well,
go hard or go home. And I'm already home, so.
Oh, well, you're so
where does that leave us?
Amazing. Well, thank you, Michaela, so much for joining me. It's been so nice to see you.
Really have brightened my day. This is Mondays are the best, because these things happen. This is full of joy, full of joy.
Yeah, lots of laughs were had. So yeah, thank you for listening. Until next time.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.